You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Connect. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Life is better connected. And one of the things that you and I cannot do alone is life. If you're a Christ follower and you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you have given up the right to do life alone. You have no permission, and I have no permission to do life in isolation. I gave up that right when I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. You see, our faith is personal, but our faith was never meant to be private. It was meant to be lived out in community. A few years ago, we went on vacation, and we had asked a friend if they would take care of our yard and if they would do some things around the house while we were gone. We like to take 2 weeks in a row because it just kind of allows us to unwind. And so we gave them the garage door opener and just said, hey, have at it, and we appreciate it, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Well, what we didn't realize was there was a storm. And a storm came, and it tripped the breaker in our garage. And what happened was this. It shut off our refrigerator, our freezer. And we had just put a bunch of meat in there, steaks. And we had this plan, we had this idea, we had this dream, we had these intentions of being able to eat some great meals together. But what happened is when it tripped that switch, it never came back on. And we're talking about July weather. And so Jim came and he opened up the garage, and you can just imagine what he smelled. And he went to the refrigerator or the freezer and he opened it up, and maggots just were everywhere. And it just reeked and reeked and reeked. Well, thanks to Jim, he didn't call us and tell us about that, and we're in our vacation. And so when we came home and we opened up the garage door and we walked in, we knew immediately something had happened. We weren't for sure what, but we knew something had happened. Even though Jim had cleaned it up and had done his very best. And so I walked over to the refrigerator, the freezer, and opened it up. And man, was I in for a surprise. I mean, it just reeked and reeked and reeked. And for days, even weeks, we would put air freshener, we would do, you know, the baking soda thing. We would do all of this to try to get the stench and the smell out. And we just couldn't. It just remained for the longest of time. And we just had to live with it. And we had to live with the fact that we'd never eat those steaks. And we'd never grill those burgers. And yet what I would want to say is this. It started out with good intentions and with a wonderful picture in mind. And yet it ended horribly for us. And that's what happens with some of us. What happens is we're like that freezer. We end up losing connection. And the power leaves our life. And what happens is things begin to smell. Things begin to get spoiled in our life. And they reek with an unbelievable stench. And some of us here today know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you've lost connection with God. And you've lost connection with other people. And because of that, you've had an experience like we had in our garage. Things in your life don't really smell all that great. Things that you had planned and hoped to do are no longer there for you to know and to experience. And what happened is you lost connection, and life is not going very well for you. And so you might be asking the question, now what? Okay, Dwight, I confess to you, I've lost connection. My life is not connected really to God or to other people. Now what do I do? How do I begin to put things back together? Well, you picked a great day to be here because we're in this series called Connect. And here's what we're learning. Our mission at New Point is this: to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And here's how we do that, okay? We do this by creating environments where people are encouraged and equipped, check this out, to connect with God, to connect with others, and then connect others to God. And so today we want to talk about connecting with others, so that you and I can be able to live the life that God has for us. Now, our hearts, my heart and your heart, hungers for order and a sense of belonging in the chaos of life. Because our life can be chaotic. It can be disrupted. And we long for connection. We long for community. And deep down inside of each and every one of us, we long to be connected with God because it's in our DNA. We talked about it last week. And being connected with God, we also begin to long to be connected to one another. And that's not surprising because that's a reflection of God, because He longs to be connected with you and me. And yet what we learned last week was this, that God used to come down into the garden with Adam and Eve, and He would walk with them, and they would have fellowship, they would have community. But sin entered the world and brought about a disconnect between mankind and God. And yet God pursued man and sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to live and to die so that we could be reconnected with God. Because the more disconnected that you and I are to God, and the more disconnected you and I are to one another, the more fearful we become. Because when God asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" And they spoke up, and He said, "Why did you hide?" What did they say? "Because we were afraid." And see, the more that we're disconnected with God and one another, fear drives our life. You see, here's what I believe. We crave intimacy, but we fear vulnerability. It's in your DNA. You want to be known for who you are. Not for what other people think you are or who you are, but for who you really are. But we're afraid of vulnerability. We crave acceptance, but we are afraid of rejection in our lives. And so this leads us to living a life that's disconnected of God and with one another. Because we're afraid to get close to one another. We're afraid to be known. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of fill in the blank. And so it pushes us away from one another. And I believe that this is the reason why we struggle with our relationships with one another. Because we haven't connected with God first and foremost. And when you and I connect with God, what that enables you and I to do is to be able to connect with other people. You see, what happens is when I have a great relationship with God, it enables me, it equips me, it empowers me to begin to have great relationships with other people. So the best thing you can do for your marriage, the best thing you can do as a parent, the best thing that you can do as a leader, the best thing you can do as a man or a woman is to develop a great relationship with God. Because that will equip you and empower you to have great relationships with other people. Because you will begin to deal with the fear factor. The wisest man in the world, apart from Jesus Christ, Solomon said this, "The fear of human opinion disables." See, it disables us. We crave intimacy, but we're afraid of vulnerability. We crave acceptance, but we're afraid of rejection. You see, the fear of human opinion disables. But check this out. Trusting in God protects you from that. Or could I say it like this? Connecting with God protects you from this. And it's very, very important that you and I connect with God first and foremost. And then this enables us and empowers us and equips us to be able to connect with other people. Now, this is so important, not just from a spiritual standpoint. Maybe you're here today and you're not even a Christ follower, but you need to be connecting with other people. California Department of Health and Mental Department did a study a number of years ago, and here's what they found out, okay? If you're disconnected from other people, you're 2 to 3 times more likely to die an early death. Check this out. You're 4 times more likely to suffer from emotional burnout. Is that a problem in America? Emotional burnout? I just can't take it anymore. You know why? Because you're disconnected from people. You were made for relationships. I was made for relationships. The way in which you stay emotionally strong, and by the way, if you're a leader here today, if you're a parent here today, you need to be emotionally strong, because we fail our followers and we fail our kids when we're not emotionally strong. Because then we act like cowards and we won't run to problems, we will run from problems. And so if you're a leader, if you're a mom, if you're a dad here today, I'm telling you, you have to be emotionally strong. And you can't be emotionally strong if you're disconnected from other people. Here's what else they found out. You're 5 times more likely to suffer clinical depression. Is that a problem in America today, depression? Absolutely. You know why? Because we're disconnected. We're disconnected. And check this out. You're 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for emotional or mental disorder. Wow. You know, these crazy killings that we have throughout our world, you check them out, and you know what? Most of those people who act on that are isolated. They're loners. They're loners. Why? Because you and I were never meant to live alone, and life is better connected. And so our goal here at New Point is to help you to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ by helping you to connect with God, but also by helping you connect with other people. That's why you and I will never transform our life by sitting in rows. Just coming to a service like this, which we're very thankful for, and you need this, but it'll never bring life change. It'll never bring sustained life change in your life. You need to be connected with a group of other people. We like to say you need to be in a circle, not just in a row. And so for you and I to be able to deal with the stench and the smell of things in our life that have gone bad because we've been disconnected, what happens is we need to get connected with others. Proverbs would say it this way: a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. See, that was what we were trying to do in our garage with the baking soda and the air freshener. We were saying, hey, you know what? We don't want to live with this stench in our garage, because you know what? It's seeping over to our house. And that's the way it does. It never stays in one area of life. It begins to seep over in other areas of life. And so my challenge for all of us is to be able to make sure that we're connected with God and that we're connected with one another. John Orberg, in one of his books, he writes this, and I couldn't agree with him more. He says, no matter how little money we have, no matter what rung we occupy on anybody's corporate ladder of success, in the end, what everybody discovers is that what matters is other people. He goes on to say this: human beings who give themselves to relational greatness, that means connecting with other people, who have friends they laugh with, cry with, learn with, yes, even fight with, dance with, live in love, and grow old and die with, these are the human beings who lead magnificent lives. Wow. Would you use that to describe your life? My life is magnificent. Probably many of us wouldn't, but look what you own. Look what you've gone in debt for. There's people thinking that you're living the life, but you're not because you're disconnected. And so here's my question for us. Are you interested in living a magnificent life? That's what you were wired for. It's what I was wired for. That's what speaks to the people around us, because they will begin to ask, how are you doing this? We can come back and say, well, you know what? I'm connected with God, and I'm connected with a handful of people that I do life with. Now, what we have to understand is this has always been a problem with mankind. It's always been a problem with those who have followed Christ. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer writes some things, and he's challenging, even chastising and exhorting and admonishing these Christ followers to remain connected with God and to remain connected with other people. Because you see, what happened is they had come to know Christ, and they found themselves falling back into their old ways, their old pattern of living. And they were not connecting with God. And they were not connecting with one another. And they battled insecurities. And they battled fear. And so what happens is, he's challenging them all throughout the book of Hebrews. Remember who your God is. Remember how he's called you to live. And what I want to do is, I want to share with us from the book of Hebrews three things that you and I will be able to experience by connecting with other people. So let's look at this, okay? Let me encourage you to take your note-taking guide, and you can follow along. Here's what the Hebrew writer says. He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together. That means staying connected, as some are in the habit of doing, because it's easy to be connected and then what? Become disconnected. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approach. So let's look at this, all right? Connecting with others keep me in three areas. Let's look at this first one. Here's the first one. From drifting. He says, let us hold on to this hope, okay? Unswervingly. He says, let us do that. To the hope that we profess. What do we profess? We profess that God is what? Good. God is great. All right? And God is generous. He is saying, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What he is saying here is that when you and I connect with one another, it will keep you and I from drifting. From drifting. From drifting from who? God. From God. Do you know that you and I have the capacity to drift from God? It's in you and it's in me. It's in every single one of us. It's just our natural tendency. You see, we drift from everything that's holy and wholesome. We don't drift towards being holy. We drift towards being unholy. We don't drift towards that which is good. We drift towards that which is not good. We rarely ever drift into a position of greatness or goodness. We just don't drift towards things that are good. You know, it's not natural for you and I to drift towards having a budget. Would you agree with me? It doesn't come natural for you and I to drift towards exercise. It doesn't come natural for you and I to drift towards having healthy relationships. If you want anything, it's uphill. Here's what John Maxwell has to say. Most people have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. Can I get an amen? Huh? We have uphill hopes, I hope for a great marriage. I hope to be financially stable. I hope to be in great health. I hope to have a great marriage and great family. I hope. But the problem is our habits are downhill. So what we need to realize and what the Hebrew writer is calling us to is that we have a tendency to drift. You see, your relationship and my relationship with God takes intentionality. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes you and I the ability to delay gratification. And if we're not intentional with God, what happens is our relationship begins to suffer. Because gratification is downhill. It's much more easier for you and I to satisfy our appetites right now than to be able to say no to an appetite in your life or in my life. And in every area of life that's important to you and important to me, we are fighting uphill in our marriage, with our kids, with our boss, with our finances, with our relationship with God. Everything that's important to you and everything that is important to me is uphill. We know this. And yet at the same time, what happens is we know it's worth it when we're willing to be intentional and we're willing to be disciplined and we're willing to put forth the effort. And so the Hebrew writer says, let us hold on unswervingly, not back and forth, to the hope that we profess, because he is faithful. Now he goes on to challenge the people with this. He says, see to it. How do you do that? He says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, he says a number of things here. He says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you. What does that convey to you and me? That we're in what? Relationships. That we're in community. It's not singular, it's plural. Brothers and sisters, and none of you. He says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, what do we profess? We profess that God is faithful, and that God is good, and that God is great, and that God is generous, right? Most of us probably here today, we would even say that God is wise. But do we always obey him? No. Why? Because we drift. We know all that to be true. We know it to be true. And yet what happens is there's a tendency in Dwight Mason to drift from God. There's a tendency in you to drift from God and to do your own thing. And the Hebrew writer here is just recognizing the fact that you and I have the capacity to drift from God. You see, God has called you and I to love one another, to forgive one another, to be generous to one another. And yet we don't always do that. And what he says here is that we have sinful, unbelieving hearts that turn us away from the living God. Can I just ask you a question? Who in their right mind would turn away from God? I mean, if we're in our right mind, we wouldn't. But we need somebody to help us out. And that's where we need to be connected with one another. He goes on to say this, but encourage one another daily. That's an ongoing relationship. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's what? Deceitfulness. Do you know that Satan is the father of lies? And the reason why you and I end up doing stupid things is because we believe his lies. What happens here is we're hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know why? Because we're not in somebody's life and they're not in our life and we haven't given them access to our life to speak the truth to us. And so what happens is we drift. You see, he uses the word here, encourage. And the word here, encourage, does not mean that a boy. Here's what it means. It means to appeal to exhort, to encourage strongly, or to beg. He's saying that you beg people not to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That you're in a relationship with them that, you know what, you exhort them, you get in their grill, you get in their face, and you love them so much that you're saying, hey, listen, you are drifting from God. And you're going to end up doing something stupid that you will regret, that, you know what, that will smell to what? High heaven. Y'all right? And so here's what he says. He says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you, that would be me, that would be you, may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Let me ask you a question. Probably many of us had a mom and a dad who went to church. How would your life be different if there was somebody in your mom and dad's life who would have spoken the truth to them? And they wouldn't have made that dumb, stupid decision that caused your family to go in a tailspin? Wouldn't you have been thankful for that? Some of us here, we have families, and you know what? Our families have gone into a tailspin. You know why? Because we drifted from God. We drifted from God, and we were hardened by sin's deceitfulness, and we thought we knew better. And you know what? Now our family is paying for it. Because we never gave anybody access to speak to us when we were drifting. You see, connecting with other people on a regular basis and giving them access to your life will keep you from drifting. Otherwise, you know what? Dwight's just going to drift. Otherwise, you're just going to drift and you're going to do some stupid, dumb stuff. He goes on to say this. He says, so let us consider how we may spur, okay, agitate, all right? Because when somebody gets in your grill, they what? They agitate you, okay? One another towards what? Love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. There you go, connecting with one another. But encouraging, exhorting, urging strongly, begging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's the second thing, and that is this. Connecting with others not only keep me from drifting, but they keep me relationally and spiritually healthy. They keep me relationally and spiritually healthy. He says here that we are to spur one another onto what? Love. That would be relationally. That what happens is we need to be connected with one another so that somebody spurs us on to love our spouse the way in which we should. That somebody's in our life to spur us on to love our kids the way in which we should. That somebody's in our life to spur us on to love our family, our mom, our dad, our friends the way in which we should. That somebody's there to spur us on how we're to love one another. And so when we're connected with other people, it keeps me relationally and spiritually healthy because we're spurring one another to love one another. Would you agree with me that it's just natural for us to be selfish and not loving? So is there anybody in your life to help you with that? Have you given anybody permission to speak to you about your selfishness or to ask you about your relationship with your spouse? Or to ask you about your relationship with your kids or with your mom or your dad or with your boss so that you can be relationally healthy, so that they can call you out and say, you know what, you need to have a talk with them. You know what, you need to forgive them. You know what, I think you need to have a peace conference. And so what he is saying here is that we need to encourage one another. We need to spur one another to love and then to good deeds. That's spiritually. Spiritually, we need to spur one another on to good deeds. What's good deeds? How about giving your time, your talent, and your treasure? How about serving? You see, what happens is if we don't have somebody in our life, it's much easier for you and I to go the isolated route. And we become greedy and we think everything that we get is for us. Or we lay on the couch and we become lazy instead of doing good works and good deeds. Y'all okay? So what happens is the Hebrew writer, what he is saying is, hey, you know what? You need somebody to spur you on to love people, because it's not in you to love people. It's in you to think about yourself. You need somebody in your life to spur you on to good deeds, because what happens is you'll want everybody to serve you and your wants and your needs. And what he says here is that, you know what? If you're connected with people, they'll keep you from drifting, and they'll keep you relationally and spiritually healthy. He goes on to say this: we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold to our what? Original conviction, firmly to the end. Now, this is important. How do you know if you're a Christ follower? By your profession? Huh? By you said a prayer? No. Look what he says here. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold to our what? Original conviction firmly to the what? To the very, very end. And this is huge. How do you hold to your conviction to the very end? You invite people into your life. You allow people to speak to you. You allow people to know you. You give people permission to get in your grill. And this leads me to the third one. Connecting with other people keeps me connected with God. It keeps me connected with God. By inviting other people into my life, by welcoming other people into my life, by not just sitting in rows, but getting in circles. See, the Hebrew writer goes on and he tells us how to be able to make sure that our original conviction is firm to the end. He says this: keep on loving one another as what? Brothers and sisters. There's the relational part, all right? Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, here's what you need to understand. Okay, he is talking about showing hospitality to strangers. What he is talking about is this: you don't know everybody in your synagogue. You don't know everybody who attends New Point. So they're what? They're strangers. Now, here's the interesting thing. You got to get this, okay? He doesn't say this: and do not forget to entertain people. See, listen to me. When we entertain people, it's all about ourselves. I wonder if the food's going to be good. I wonder if they're going to be impressed with our house. Oh, we could never have a small group at our house. Our house is so small and tiny and puny, I'm ashamed of it. Then you know what? You're not hospitable, you're an entertainer. Because you're more concerned about what people think about what you have than thinking about who you are. To be hospitable means to invite somebody into your home. And in the Jewish community, there was nothing more intimate and more personal and more connecting than to have a meal in somebody's home. And they weren't there to be able to check out your new drapes or your new flat screen or your carpet or your sofa or whatever you have. They were honored by the fact that you wanted to take time to connect with them. And so he says here, he says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. By doing so, some have what? Shown hospitality to angels. Listen to me. An angel is a messenger. A messenger from God. Some of us are here today, and you know what? You need a word from God because your marriage is in a mess. You need a word from God. You know why? Because your finances are in a mess. You need a word from God because your career is in a mess. And you're saying, I wish God would speak to me, but you're not connected with other people. And God has a word for you, but the way in which He'll usually speak to you is through other people. And so when we open up our homes and we're willing to host a small group, when we're willing to invite other people in, what happens is you just might be inviting somebody to sit across the table from you that has a word from the living God for you that will set you free and that will bring hope and healing to your life. and that will keep you connected with God. Y'all okay? See, life is better connected. So let me ask you two questions as we wrap up. Here's the first one. Who has your complete trust and can speak truth to you that you may not want to hear? Does anybody know about your finances? Do you talk to anybody about buying a new home? Or making a career change? Or what you're going to give to the church? You say, no, that's too personal for me. That's the problem. It's too personal and you're dying. See, your faith was never meant to be private. Somebody needs to know. Somebody needs to be able to have access to your life, all of it, your finances, your faith, your family. Because what happens is they will see things that you will not see. Here's the second question. What are you telling yourself that if you were to share it with somebody else, they would think you've lost your mind? Because the enemy is what? A liar. And we have thoughts that go through our head. Would you agree with me? And you know what happens? We think those thoughts, but we never share those thoughts with somebody. And so we begin to think, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? And what happens is you're no match for that on your own. And if you were to say what you were thinking, probably somebody would come up out of their chair and say, are you crazy? Did you just hear what you said? Are you nuts? Do you know what that's going to do to your marriage? Do you know what that's going to do to your family? Do you know what that's going to do to your life? Or maybe they wouldn't even need to do that. Maybe they would just need to repeat. Did I say that? That's what you're thinking about doing. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Are you insane? See, that's why we need to be connected with other people. It keeps me from drifting. It keeps me relationally and spiritually healthy. And it keeps me connected with God. I want you to watch this video because this is being lived out all throughout our campuses. Check this out.
My name is Brad Fast, and this is my wife, Heather. We are from Rittman, Ohio. And we are part of the Worcester New Point community.
Brad's daughter, Kathy, and her husband, Al, had come to New Point the first Sunday that it opened. We met up after church, and Kathy was telling me how great of an experience that they had and that it was a church that she felt her dad would really feel comfortable coming to. And so a couple weeks later, we ended up our very first time coming to New Point. And I can remember the majority of that experience, you know, just like I just went not that long ago.
I remember saying on the way home, we discussed how the atmosphere was just phenomenal. And it was like, you know, like we felt like we were at a place that we were comfortable in, in a group of people in a setting where people were like us.
Yeah, so, you know, getting connected was definitely something that we were really interested in doing. And just getting, you know, out of our comfort zone, meeting new people. After we went to the New to New Point, started volunteering, and just really started meeting people that, you know, were changing us and kind of helping us change who we were. And so we decided to join a small group and just had a wonderful experience. The very first session that we had all met, it was talking about our story and the passion that everybody had and the stories that we had. It was amazing to us, or to me, that although we felt like we were all so different, there were so many ways that we are so much the same.
It just removed all barriers initially and really got everybody on the same platform, and it helps fill an empty spot between the Sundays. So that was, for me, was an awesome thing. It's like a rejuvenation midweek.
We've really only been meeting less than a year so far, and they're part of our family now. I mean, there's, you know, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, you know, I mean, there's there's a place, a very special place for each and every single one of them in our hearts.
But joining a small group and talking with others, you find out that you're not alone. You know, to hear other people's perspectives on what their take was mm-hmm. from that particular sermon or on a particular topic, whatever we happen to be talking about. So it's pretty interesting to be able to compare yourself. You know, you walk out of there feeling like, I guess I'm not so weird after all. Or, you know, I guess we're kind of all on the same page. We all feel a little bit the same way. So.
I would tell others to, you know, join a group or try a group, you know, for that experience, just to be able to get to know others who they may not think are anything like them, but may very quickly realize or soon realize that they have a lot more in common than they think they do. And, you know, the one thing, too, is what we've learned at New Point and our small group is that if you're comfortable, you're not growing. So get out of your comfort zone. Really just, you know, expand your horizons, if you will. And you have nothing to lose. If anything, you have friendships to gain. You know, they may give you new ideas or new perspectives. And I think that it would spiritually help them in their journey.
You hear that? Get out of your comfort zone, get involved, get out of the rows, get into circles, and you will reap some benefits. Connecting with others will keep you from drifting. It'll keep you relationally and spiritually healthy, and it'll keep you connected with God. Some of us, we were in a group, and you know what? We've drifted, and you need to get back into one. And I want to encourage you to do that. For others of us, you've never been in a group, and I encourage you to take advantage of your communication card and just put in there that you're interested in being a part of a small group, and somebody will contact you and help you to take your next step. But I'm telling you, it's a matter of life and death. I'm sure all of us have somebody in our life that we wish would have been connected relationally with somebody who would have gave them another option or a different perspective from the one that they chose. Because we're reaping the consequences of that. So let's do life connected. Let's connect with God and connect with others. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you made it possible for us to be connected to you. And now you desire for us to be connected with others so that we can experience every good thing we have in Christ. And we thank you for that. And I pray for all of us that we would not just live in rows, but that we would live in circles and be connected. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.